Welcome. This is Igniting You, the podcast that takes you through our journey of love, faith, heartbreak, and hope. I'm your host, Adrian, or Coach A, if you like. And for this episode, I wanted to explore a topic that in some circles is controversial, but it's also gaining a lot of attention in African-American Christians and African-American community as a whole. So we're going to talk about settling. And what I mean by this is settling for less, settling for just being a number in a congregation, settling for being in a place just because you're tired of looking and you don't want to look any further. What we're talking about is what I would call church culture assimilation. Now, before we get into that, as usual, we'll take you to church. And our scripture for today comes from Numbers 6, 24 through 26. This may be very familiar to some of you guys. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Now, before we get into anything at the beginning, I just want to make this caveat here, okay? Nothing that I say is going to go against anyone or any place that my wife and I have ever been. Actually, we've learned a lot from a lot of places that we've been. We love all the people that we've been in contact with. And so if those of you all here in this podcast understand that everything we say is in love, and all we're doing is just really sharing, sharing my experience. And, you know, it's an experience, unfortunately, that a lot of us in the African-American community share, okay? Now, I want to clear up some things and kind of have some norms here, right? First, with the term assimilation, all right? Now, in some churches, the word assimilation is used to describe when someone first visits a church, right? And then they end with a person connects with a group of people, a ministry, a program that's associated with that church, right? So in that standpoint, church assimilation is a good thing. However, in other circles, the word assimilation has a more negative connotation, meaning that when someone of a different ethnic culture goes into a church and assumes the dominant culture that is present or leaves or covers up their own culture so that they do not stand out. Now, unfortunately, that's what we've had to do a lot of times when we've visited churches, primarily white churches. And it's something that is a lot of people have had to do. Some people don't, you know, some people are able just to blend, and that's awesome. But for us, we just found that, we had to experience that. And so that's why we wanted to do this podcast or this episode, because we have a feeling that a lot of people out there have felt the same way. Now, when you're talking about church culture assimilation, you may find yourself being a different person at church than you are really in your own house. You find that maybe you're not listening to the same music. You listen to something different, or the way you worship may be different, or even just the way you talk or dress may be different. And this difference really is a statement that says, hey, I may be different out somewhere, but I want to be part of this culture. I want to be part of this this ministry, this church. So I don't want to do anything that's going to offend anyone. I want to join, right? I want to be a part of this thing, which again, that's not inherently a bad thing. However, you do run the risk, honestly, of losing yourself. Now, this isn't just a African-American problem or white problem or Asian or Hispanic problem, right? This is a problem whether you're white and you go to an all-white church, or you're black and you go to an all-black church. So this has really nothing to do with race. This is all about culture, really, right? And I think sometimes in this country, we kind of combine the two, but they really are different. And so what we want to talk about and focus on with this episode is culture, not race, culture, okay? Now, visiting different churches and denominations while my wife and I were in the wilderness, and if you've heard any of our previous episodes, you know that wilderness season was difficult for us, but it did teach us a lot, right? And it was a blessing when we got to see a lot of different churches. We got to experience a lot of different worship styles and teaching styles. And honestly, we gained an understanding of the state of how churches are today. Now, I'm going to say that many, many churches are very strong. And even church as a whole is strong. However, every church isn't the same. Some are stronger than others. And so we're not going to get into that really. really going to get into our experience at different churches, right? Now, we did have a struggle finding a church home. And it wasn't so much because we're so different or whatever. I don't know. It was just one thing, you know, or another thing. Now, we understand, too, that every church is not perfect, right? Because you're dealing with imperfect people, so you can't have a perfect church. But it just had a feeling like we just didn't quite belong in the place that we were, right? Now, unfortunately, some churches had a lack of representation when it came to like couples and families like our own age. And that's what I want to kind of go into also when it comes to like the culture, because, you know, we ran into that situation going to a Black church, right? We're African-American. We were going to a Black church. But unfortunately, there weren't a lot of people that were, you know, mine and my wife's age. You know, it was an older church, very, very loving people, good people, man. But we just really couldn't connect on a deeper level because there really weren't that many people there that were our age. So that was an issue. But especially, though, when we went to some older churches, churches that where we weren't necessarily living around that area and things like that. So we kind of ran into that situation quite a bit. Now, the difference, though, we want to talk about, though, when it comes to diversity, right? Because a lot of churches, especially predominantly white churches, pride themselves on being diverse, right? And they are, a lot of them are very ethnically diverse. You know, you see all colors, right? You see white, you see Black, you know, Asian, Hispanic, whatever. But there's a big difference, though, between being ethnically diverse and culturally diverse. And that's when we were really running into a situation. Now, a lot of these churches, they pride themselves on being ethnically diverse, which is awesome, which is great. You know, obviously, a lot of people say, you know, well, this is what heaven looks like, which is absolutely true. However, though, we found, though, that from a cultural standpoint, a lot of the things that we held important for us in our culture, you know, celebrating certain holidays like MLK Day or Juneteenth or anything like that, it just wasn't a thing, you know, at the church. And when you bring it up, you know, it's kind of like, oh, well, we didn't really think about that or whatever. And you would think like, hey, you know, am I the first person that brought this up? You know, am I alone in this? And you're seeing other people that, you know, look like you, that maybe same, you know, similar age as you, and they're not bringing it up. And they just wonder like, okay, they're not bringing it up because they don't care? Or are they not bringing it up because they already got shot down before? I don't know. But honestly, we found that a lot of people don't want to go into, you know, the different cultural holidays and celebrations because for whatever reason, it's become political. It turned political, right? Now, we have no problem as a society as a whole celebrating, you know, the 4th of July or Memorial Day or anything like that. We have no problem celebrating that. But when it comes to things like Juneteenth or whatever, all of a sudden now it's a political thing. And we don't, you know, they want to shy away from politics and things like that. And I'm like, well, no, it's not a political thing. It's a cultural thing. This is important for my culture. And so that's one of the things that really honestly had us really wondering like, okay, are these places really for us? Like they accept us, they love us, you know, as Christians. But do they really accept us for who we are? You know, it kind of reminds me, I'm a big Lecrae fan, you know, love Lecrae. And he talks about it all the time, you know, in his music where, you know, when he first came out, right, everything was about Jesus, you know, had a Jesus music and was rocking, everybody was rocking, especially in the evangelical congregations and that, you know, that community, so to speak. But then when you started having things happen, you know, especially in like, you know, 2015, 14, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, and, you know, Lecrae started speaking out about, you know, Tamir Rice and about George Floyd and, you know, Breonna Taylor and all these people that were unfortunately killed by police brutality, you know, all of a sudden now he started getting backlash from the community that was lifting him up. And he was like, wait, hold on, I thought y'all were riding with me. But it's kind of what he was saying is that they're riding with him to an extent. As long as you don't get too, you know, political, or as long as you're riding with us with our culture, we're good. But, you know, don't bring anything else in that's political, because now you're divisive. You know, now you're not coming along with who we are, right? You're not the same. And so he found that, look, you know, I'm going to be who I'm going to be. You know, like, he's going to talk about who he's going to talk about. And I applaud him for that, because he lost, I'm sure. I'm sure he lost a lot of money. But I lost a lot of fans. You know, people was like, you know, he's changed. I've actually heard that myself. You know, I was like, yeah, I'm a Lecrae fan. Love Lecrae. Love his last, you know, albums, all that stuff. And people were like, yeah, you know, I used to listen to him, you know, but he's changed, you know, he's changed. And I'm like, well, yeah, the world has changed, you know. You didn't used to see all this type of, you know, things going on anew, but you see it now, and he addressed it, you know. And so we found ourselves, and my wife and I, we really kind of found ourselves really in the same boat, you know, as Lecrae. You know, not obviously to an extent, because he's a Grammy Award-winning artist, and we're just, you know, podcast hosts and coaches. But, you know, we found ourselves in that same situation where it's like, okay, now we're kind of at a crossroads. You know, do we just assimilate? Do we just conform to, you know, not saying things just for the sense of, you know, conforming and being comfortable, or having other people feel comfortable? Or do we just speak out our mind and have our truth and, you know, go with that? And so we had that challenge, honestly. We had that challenge of conforming and assimilating in churches as Black people, as African Americans, and being the minority, you know. And honestly, we didn't want to be those people, you know. We didn't want to be the only people that were talking about these things, you know. And honestly, we didn't want to be like the token Black people, right? We didn't want to be the ones where you take the picture and all of a sudden now, like, you know, you have this picture, you know, this well-organized picture on the front, the website or a bulletin or whatever the case may be. And it looks like, you know, they're so diverse, when it's like, not so much, you know, right? We didn't want to be that either. And so honestly, we just got tired of that. We just really got tired of that. And we found ourselves really just stopped going to church, you know, because, you know, we tried to go to other churches. I mean, and again, it wasn't just, you know, predominantly white churches. It was predominantly Black churches too, but you have a different, you know, you have a different, you know, assimilation going there too, because when we would go to some predominantly Black churches, you know, our spirituality wasn't as accepted in a sense. You know, like my wife and I, you know, we believe in speaking in tongues, right? Other people don't believe in that. We believe in that there are still prophets, you know, or people with a prophetic, you know, ministry and that gift. A lot of Black churches don't believe in that, you know? And so we had to figure out too, it's like, okay, do we assimilate to that, right? Do we just, you know, disregard that part of our belief just for the sake of conforming? You know, do we not talk about these things? You know, do we just go with the regular, you know, quote unquote, regular Black church, and we just go there and, you know, we catch the Holy Spirit, like some people used to say, like, you know, growing up in my church, you know, it was kind of a saying, used to catch the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I didn't think anything of it. And now that I look back, it's like, man, that's kind of silly. You know, man, you don't catch it. You know, you're endowed with it when you become a Christian. But, you know, needless to say, we found ourselves really struggling, honestly, to find that church home. And honestly, we had a temptation of just giving up and, you know, joining Bedside Baptist, like a lot of people have. And the unfortunate thing is a lot of people have turned to that, you know, in recent years. A lot of people have turned to just, you know, I'm just going to turn on the TV, you know, I'm a turn to Elevation, or I'm a turn to Transformation, or I'm a turn to whatever local church is on TV. And again, nothing inherently wrong with that. It's just, it's not the same, you know. You're not getting the same, you know, the same experience, I would say, doing Bedside Baptist as you would, you know, at a, you know, full organic church. And so, but we found ourselves in that situation where it was like, okay, what do we do? And, you know, our biggest thing was like, we were just tired of feeling just rejected, you know, whether it be a cultural rejection, or even just from a culture of, you know, trying to bring in new ideas, right? Trying to like do something different, especially, you know, with older churches, established churches. You know, they already had, you know, their, you know, way of doing things. And, you know, they didn't want to have any new ideas, right? I mean, I remember I actually applied for a job, you know, a few years ago to be a youth minister at this church. And it was a very, you know, very big church in this area. And during the interview, let me just be real, during the interview, I just like, this ain't going good. You know, I felt like I did everything they wanted me to do. You know, they asked me to come up with this like first 100-day thing, like this was like a political office or something. I mean, but I was like, you know, I did it. And I came up with this, you know, fire presentation. My wife really put it together for me. Shout out to Chris. You know, she's not on the podcast today, but you know, when it comes to all the organization stuff, my wife is on it. And so she helped me with that. She helped me prepare for the interview. I felt like I did a great job. I answered all their questions. I had all these great ideas, all that kind of stuff. And at the end of it, you know, one of the ministers that was there interviewing me, and I'm not going to say it quite right, but they were basically asking about, well, what about the old stuff? What about the people who are already there? And I said, well, I'm not going to get rid of anyone. I'm not, you know, I'm not the president or anything. But they asked me to bring ideas. And so I brought ideas. But all the time, I just felt like they didn't want that, you know? And that's the thing that life and I really, we fell into when we went to a lot of different churches. They just didn't really, you know, appreciate, or, you know, do you really want to take in any new ideas of how to do things? Now, again, we're not the end all be all. All of our ideas aren't the best ideas. We just want to be heard. And I think when anyone comes into new churches, they want to be heard. They want to be, you know, seen. You know, they don't want to just be thrown into being an usher, or thrown into, you know, singing on the choir, or thrown into children's ministry, right? You know, just to get them attached to something. Like, no, I mean, when you bring somebody in, you want them to feel like they're being seen and heard for who they are and what they can bring to the church, not what you can get out of them, right? And we felt too often like a lot of churches just wanted to get something out of us. You know, we're a body, we're eager, and so let's just put them somewhere and then let it be done, right? And so we just had this struggle, and we felt like, you know, over and over and over again, we were facing the same things over and over again. But eventually, honestly, we just got tired, and we just kind of put aside our need for that cultural representation for the sake of just belonging to a church, you know? And, you know, we tried it. We really did. You know, we were like, you know, we're going to go here. You know, we loved the pastor. You know, he was an awesome man of God. His word was always on point, you know, and, but we just didn't feel what everyone else is feeling. You know, you ever get that sense that, like, you know, everyone gets to joke and stuff for you kind of thing, you know? Like, everybody's like, oh, yeah, yeah. And you kind of have to laugh, like, yeah, I got that. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, you know? Or, like, someone's like, yeah, have you ever seen this movie? Remember when the guy did this and that? Yeah, yeah, I remember that part, right? Like, we kind of had to feel like we did that, you know, because people were raving about, you know, how church was. And I'm not saying it wasn't bad at all. You know, it was very good. It just wasn't us, you know? And so we had to really kind of think and pray. And, you know, we came to the conclusion that we just couldn't do it anymore. And so we actually saw our former pastor out and about with his wife. And, you know, we had thought about emailing him, but, you know, in God and his infinite wisdom, I guess, we ran into him outside. And, you know, we talked about, look, you know, unfortunately, we're going to leave, and it has nothing to do with, you know, you or anyone else. It wasn't anything, you know, no kind of animosity or anything like that. It was just, we just didn't feel like we belonged. And, you know, to his credit, I mean, he was down with it. He understood exactly what we were going through. So not exactly, but, you know, he understood enough what we were going through. And so we just really couldn't shake that. And I know a lot of people out there that are listening to this podcast, they feel the same way, you know? So we had to do something. We had to really figure out, okay, what can we do? Because we're tired of jumping from church to church. We want to belong, but we don't want to just settle, right? And so these are the things that we did. And these are kind of the takeaways that I had from our entire experience I want to share with you guys. So the first takeaway was that we didn't pray enough. Right. During this whole time, we're trying to, you know, figure out where God wants us to be. But we never, not say never, but we didn't really like bring him into the whole process and say, God, OK, show us where you want us to be and, you know, guide us to this place and all that kind of stuff. You know, we didn't do that. I feel like we didn't do that enough. Right. And so I think when we did start doing that more, that's when God started showing us, you know, little tidbits here and there. I'm going to share with you in a little bit as well that I thought was very interesting. So the first takeaway was pray. The second takeaway, honestly, was not to really hold any grudges against any church, right? Like, your last church, like wherever church you are, your last church led you to your next church, right? And so we don't have any animosity, any grudges to anyone, any church that we've been to, because frankly, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be where we are right now, you know? And I appreciate that, you know? We love everyone that we had, you know, had contact with, you know, your services were awesome, you know, your words were great, you know, we just weren't, you know, we just didn't feel like we just fit there. And so when it comes to all this type of stuff, even in relationships, right? Don't hold any grudges, you know, don't hold any grudges against your exes or whatever, because in the day, your exes, you know, are a stepping stone to get you to the right one, right? So that's takeaway number two. Takeaway number three, don't lose connection with God, right? We fell into that a little bit, because when you go to Bedside Baptist, it's so easy to not even go. It's so easy to not even turn on the TV. It's so easy just to stay in bed and not even worry about going to, you know, just sleeping in a little bit or going shopping or playing football or whatever else you want to do other than going to church, right? Do not lose your connection with God, because he's the one that's going to lead you to where he wants you to be. And the last takeaway, honestly, number four is there is a church for you. I promise you. There are literally thousands upon thousands of churches out there. There is one for you. Now, you may not have found one yet. You may not have found the one yet, but there is a church for you. Just like, you know, people say, you know, there's someone for everyone. And I truly believe that there's a church for you. Do not give up hope. Do not give up faith. You will find that church. Okay. Now, for those of you guys who have left the church, you know, for whatever reason, especially if you felt like you don't fit or you don't belong, understand that, honestly, Jesus felt the same way, right? He was a Jewish man trying to usher in a new covenant, and his own people rejected him, right? Even his disciples, his 12, his main ride or dies, who he had been training for over 3 years, in his moment where he needed them the most, they were nowhere to be found. And in fact, one of his main ride or dies, Peter, he didn't even acknowledge him. He said he disowned him. I don't know that man, right? So if Jesus went through that, he understands. He understands how you feel. Now, who did Jesus hold on to? It was his Father. When he went away to pray, he prayed to his Father. He taught us how to pray to his Father. And so when you feel at your lowest, like no one understands what you're going through, that you feel alone or you're just tired, lean on the Father. Pray. Be with him, because I guarantee you, he's going to lead you to the right place. Now, if you or anyone that you know has struggled with trying to fit in or not fitting in, or honestly just need someone just to walk with them on their journey to finding that place where they fit in, coaching is a good option. And at Igniting You Coaching and Wellness, we can help. So if you'd like more information about how we can help you find that place, be sure to visit our website at www.ignitingyou.org. Now, lastly, I want to leave you with this. It's no fun feel like you don't belong somewhere, right? What I've had to learn is that it's okay. It's okay not. It's okay to feel that way. Because here's the thing. Maybe God has you right where he wants you to be so that you can be the agent of change that needs to be in that place. Or you can bring light in a dark place. Or be that person that people can come to for advice, right? You just never know. So whatever your purpose is for that season, believe God that it is for a very good purpose. See, God doesn't make mistakes, right? So where you are right now is where he wants you to be, at least for this season. Everywhere my wife and I went, though we felt a little out of place, we also made impacts there. We blessed people. We prayed for people. But, you know, also people had a blessing on us. People had an impact on us. God spoke to us through those people as well. And so many times, honestly, you may have the right seed, but you're going to be in the wrong soil, right? You got the right seed, just the wrong soil. Now, there are reasons why palmetto trees grow in the South and maple trees grow in the North, right? Did you know that maple trees prefer well-drained, slightly acidic soils and cooler temperatures, whereas palmetto trees retain a lot of water, thus making them drought-resistant and flood-resistant? See, if you find yourself stuck somewhere, maybe you haven't fulfilled your assignment yet. Maybe God has something special for you right where you are, and if you move, you just might miss out. Allow God to lead you, whether it's to another destination or right where you are. So lastly, I just want to close this out in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, for your guidance. I thank you, Lord God, that you have us right where you want us to be. Father God, sometimes when we face adversities or challenges, Lord, we want to run away from them. We want to feel like, you know, we're supposed to be somewhere else. And maybe we are. Maybe we did take a wrong turn. Or maybe, just maybe, we're right where we want to be, where you want us to be. Father God, if that's the case, Lord, if we're right where we want us to, where you want us to be, help us, Lord, see what it is that we're supposed to do. Help us, Lord, to understand our assignment in this particular place. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, that you are our guiding light, that you are the one, Lord God, who will guide us and keep us according to your good purpose. And we pray, Father God, that as you are doing this in our lives, that we are humble enough to accept whatever assignment it is, because we know, Lord, that ultimately is to build up your kingdom. We praise you, Lord God, and thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us and everything you continue to do for us. And we just praise you, Lord, now and forever. And it's your son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, thank you all for spending time with me. Until next time, stay blessed, highly favored, peace.